All right, let's pray. Father, I need you, Lord. You know, I have no strength right now, and that's a good place to be, to do your work, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified. I just want to honor you now. And I pray, Lord, that it would touch every heart in this room, that all glory should be given to you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know where this is exactly going. I've preached a sermon along these lines before. I don't have any notes before me, but the Lord just burdened my heart to preach on Christ. And God has been so good to me in my life, and I know that our lives are an example of and should manifest the glory of God. Every blood-bought saint in this room, your life ought to manifest God's glory. Not to glorify yourself or your flesh or to make yourself feel better, but that He might receive glory in the church. Like that verse says, it's becoming my favorite verse, throughout all ages, a world without end. But I'm going to read you some scripture here, and I'm going to try to preach on Christ. It says here in verse number 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb." There are so many people today that are looking for something to live for in this life. A purpose in this life. There's books that have been written. The purpose-driven life and other things like that. People trying to find purpose. Your purpose can be found right here. All that we do in our lives, everything that we do, should point to Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, how do you explain 50 men, 60 men assembling across the country from all points, and us all the way up here in Minnesota, traveling, getting in a car, traveling 18, 20 hours, being away from your family for a week? For what? Was it just for Baptist history? No. It's because the thing that you will find in Baptist history the most is that they honored God. They were blessed because they honored God. They were blessed because they understood this. They understood, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb. You know what will make a man suffer reproach? Because Christ is worthy. You know what will make a man stand up and stand on his convictions and follow the Bible no matter who it makes mad? Because Christ is worthy. Do you realize that every stand that we take when we stand up, when the Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints? By the way, the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's one faith. Bible faith. One. Not 100 different ones. One faith. One faith. one Lord and God of all and over all.
It'll make a man suffer reproach. It'll make a family stand up when you catch hold of that Christ is worthy. It'll make your family stand up for what is right and separate yourselves from the world and separate yourselves from wickedness and suffer whatever reproach you have to. So what made these Baptists suffer beatings and persecutions and ridicule and jail? What made those Waldensians suffer at the hand of the king? What made Anne Askew do what she did? What was the driving principle? Was it so they could be rebellious against the state or so they could impress somebody or any of those things? No, it was because Christ is worthy. They stood because Christ is worthy. You understand that you'll stand up for your life when you see this, that Christ is worthy. You'll stand up for God in your life. You will manifest the glory of God because you will see that Christ is worthy. When you catch hold of that principle in your life, it'll change you. Your heart will turn then from a heart of anger and scorn and wrath and malice to that of praise. We see that in this text. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." He's worthy of your praise because he shed his blood for you. You know, he's the only one that ever came and died and lived a perfect sinless life. He's the only man that is worthy of praise. Do you realize that? The world is looking for a man now. The man they're going to receive is the Antichrist. But they're looking for a man now. They're looking for that Superman that will come and save them in their humanistic fashion. And they're going to get what they want. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus and that he is worthy. He's the only man that's worthy of your praise. We live in a world that wants to have praise for man. We want to lift up the office of the pastorate higher than it should be. We want to lift up the wisdom, the things of this world higher than they should be. The only man that ever deserves that praise is Jesus Christ. No pastor is above this book. No believer is above this book. Christ is the one that should receive praise. Notice in this that when they reflected on what Christ had done for them, that he was slain for them, and that he redeemed them. He's worthy. He redeemed them. He brought them back from the dead. Our lives are so filled up with ourselves today, what our wants and desires are. We think about everything that can please our flesh. I'll tell you something. I don't enjoy leaving my family. One thing God showed me this week, it doesn't matter, it's for me. We don't realize that this life is not about us, it's about Him. When you see in your life that your life is about Jesus, our life is dead and hid in Christ. That's where it should be. Is your life hid in Christ? If someone went looking for you, will they find Christ? If they went looking and searching for you, the essence of who you are, who would they find? Would they find you or would they find Him? This world doesn't need more of you. It needs more of Him. Your family doesn't need more of your wants, your desires. They need Him. They need Him. Our churches are starved for Christ. Our pulpits are starved for Christ. Our people are starved for Christ. They need Jesus. They don't need preachers that can stand up and wax eloquently about things. They need preachers that will preach Christ. That will point them to the Lamb that is worthy. The Lamb that was slain. They need preachers and people that live their lives in such a way that if they came looking for you, they'd find Christ. Do they? When our children look at us, they should see Christ. You know, many, many, many testimonies of God's people today are so poor that they couldn't find Christ anywhere in your life. Because you give them a little box of your life. And I give them a little box of my life. I don't give my life completely to Him. And my life is not dead and hid in Christ. I live every day and you live every day, much of our day for ourselves. You know why these men were so, God used them so greatly, and they never thought they were great men, these Baptists. They never thought they were great men. They didn't want books written about them. They didn't want markers made of them. They didn't want those things. There's nothing wrong with those things. They're stones of remembrance. There's nothing sinful about that. But you know what? Not one of them ever thought that would ever happen. What they wanted was Christ. I think of that missionary, Adoniram Judson, and his wife, his last wife that wrote to her father. And two of her father's children had died. She married Adoniram Judson and she said, "Count me as one of your dead children, because I'll never be back again. Count me with the dead," she said. Why? She was going to die in Africa. Burma, thank you. I'm tired. She was going to die in Burma, and she knew that. And she said, "Count me with your dead children." I think of the letter that Adoniram Johnson had written to his first wife, when he was asking the father for her hand in marriage. He talked about, "Will you give your daughter this? Because chances are she's going to die, and savages could destroy her body and kill her, and all these things could happen. Will if you say no, I understand, but if you do, know that her life will be given for Christ." And the father left it up to her, and she said yes, and she lost three children, and she died herself. Why? Because he's worthy. Why would the Waldensians be forced? Why would they allow themselves? Because why wouldn't they renounce their faith? Why? Was it because they were strong Christians? Is that why? Because they were so tough and strong and manly? No, it didn't have anything to do with that. Why? Because he's worthy. That's why. Because he's worthy. That's why they did what they did. They didn't do it because they wanted you to be impressed by it. They didn't suffer for God and hold on to the doctrine and stand for the faith. They didn't get boiled in pots and hung upside down and crucified and their children's bodies ripped apart so you could brag on them. They did it because Christ is worthy. And it's cried out from heaven, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood." Sing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." 10 shekels in a shirt. It's about a man that went to the foreign mission field. And he went there to save the heathens from God. That was his mindset, you know. To go there, preach the gospel because these heathens, because nobody's telling them anything, and that he was going to save them from God up in heaven that wanted to throw them all into hell. That's the mindset that much of our missions movement is under today. But when he went there and started preaching the gospel, he figured out one thing. They know there's a God. They don't want anything to do with him. They hate him. This world hates God. Here's a newsflash for you. This world hates God. They hate everything that you stand for in this book. This world hates Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? It's school, it's everything, from the public department, education and everything else, hates him. Now, we got to be a light in those institutions. We got to share the gospel with people. But I'm telling you what, they hate it. They hate God. They may act like they don't, but every design that they have is against God. Amen. Come on. It's the truth. Why do you think God said that we're not to love the world? Because it hates him. But this man went to the foreign mission field. When he went there, he figured out the heathens didn't want anything to do with God. They hated him. And he went back to his room and he said, "This is the biggest scam I've ever been a part of in my life. I went here to share the gospel with a bunch of dying heathens that didn't know there was a God. And they hate him. They don't want anything to do with him. I don't even know why I went there." And God dealt with that man's heart over and over again for many days, and his heart was broke. And God told him, "I didn't send you there for those heathens to get saved. I didn't send you there for that. I sent you there for me, for my son. I sent you there because Christ is worthy. That's why I sent you there.
So that Christ would receive the reward of his labors. To glorify God, that he'd be honored, that Jesus would be honored for the sacrifice that he made. Not for the heathen. Do you understand that's why we're going to start street preaching? Do you understand that? Why? So people can get saved? No, because he commanded us to and that he's worthy. Ought not Christ to receive the rewards of his labor? Not so you can build a church. Not so you can see many converts and people. You could write a how-to book that people will be impressed with you. Not that there's anything wrong if you want to write a book. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it's not for those reasons. It's because Christ is worthy. People are always going to go to hell, folks. They're going to reject the gospel and they're going to die and go to hell. And you know what? Without the Spirit of God moving on them, you can preach to them 150,000 times. And until the Holy Ghost of God convicts them, you have an old-fashioned Baptist, I believe in conviction and repentance. So does God, by the way. That hasn't changed, even though we've tried to change it. What's the purpose? Why do it? Because people are going to hell? No, that's trying to tug on somebody's heart in an emotional way to get them to do something. You will never force me to do something by tugging on my heart because men are fickle and their emotions jump up and down. We do it because Christ is worthy. We've got to get out there and do more because Christ is worthy. Because he deserves it. When God looks down at you, do you know why you're not flung into hell and burned in an eternal fire for all of eternity? Because he looks at Christ and he says, my son is worthy. Did you think it was some good in you? Oh, you made a decision. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you're saved and you're going to heaven. But you're not saved because you made that decision. Do you understand that? You understand you're saved because Christ is worthy. Do you understand you're not saved because there's some good in you or that you repented or anything else? You're saved because Christ is worthy. God forgives you because of Christ's worthiness. That's why. You're forgiven because of Christ. You're not forgiven for you coming to him. You're not forgiving because you have a sorrowful spirit when you come to him. You those things happen. But you're forgiven because Christ is worthy. That's why. The only reason why. There's no virtue in me standing up here and preaching. There's no virtue in me driving 18 hours with Roy and having to look at Russ for 2 days. There's no worthiness in that. There wasn't some in him looking at me, but that was besides the point. There's no worthiness there. There's no worthiness in these Baptist men that suffered. Though they were beaten and their children were ripped apart. There's no worthiness in that. That's not why we honor them. We honor them because they honor the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. I wish you would get a glimpse of what God sees sometime. Would you wake up? I barely got a voice left, but I'm going to preach till it's gone. But listen to me. Would you understand? Would you get a glimpse of the way God views things for once? Would you look at the way God looks down at his son and he shows you that he did this knowing that he would suffer? Do you realize that God was not surprised that Jesus was going to the cross? Do you understand that he created you in knowing that you would betray him? Then why did he do it? Because Christ is worthy. Because the cross manifested the glory of God. The cross manifested God's glory. And if you get a glimpse of Jesus Christ and who he really is, and you get a glimpse of God the Father, and you understand that the Lamb in God's eyes was slain from the foundation of the world, and if he wasn't, you'd be in hell. If you go all the way through the Old Testament, you will see that in every covenant, in every dispensation, whatever you want to call it, in every single one of those, Christ was seen. It took the blood in all of them. I don't care what Peter Ruckman tries to tell you, that it was by works in the Old Testament, and in this covenant it's by grace through faith. No, it's always been by Jesus. It'll always forever be by Jesus. And you'll be in heaven one day because Christ is worthy. You know, you'll sing a new song in your heart when you realize that Christ is.
You that doubt your salvation will stop doubting it when you look to heaven and realize that Christ is worthy. You'll understand that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and that I'm saved because Christ is worthy. Amen. Bible says He's worthy and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Not because of all your good works here on the earth will you reign, but you will reign because Christ is worthy. You were born into this world because Christ is worthy. You will die like the death of all men because Christ is worthy. You will be resurrected in a new body because Christ is worthy. You will receive eternal riches and rewards because Christ is worthy. You will defeat death because Christ defeated it for you, because Christ is worthy. And if you love God, you'll live a life that honors Him because Christ is worthy. You won't live it because it's comfortable. You won't live it because it's easy. You won't live it because it gives you some sort of gain or riches or rewards. You will live it because Christ is worthy. You will be faithful to the house of God because Christ is worthy. You will preach on the street because Christ is worthy. You will set your house in order and raise your children right because Christ is worthy. You will stop feeding the flesh and live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit because Christ is worthy. You'll deny your flesh, take up your cross and follow Him because Christ is worthy. You'll not deny Him. You will be His disciple and follow Him because He's worthy. That worthiness, because Christ is worthy, a man went all the way across the world and preached the gospel to people. Suffered three wives being killed and are dying. Suffered children being killed. You'll be like Isaac McCoy and you'll come back home and you'll see another child buried. And you'll look up to heaven and you'll say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." You'll console a wife that is hurting when she lost her children because Christ is worthy. You'll be like those Waldensian children and you'll hide the Bible and you'll hide it in your heart and you'll memorize entire portions of Scripture because Christ is worthy. It wasn't because they were trying to impress somebody, they were trying to make somebody happy. It was because Christ is worthy. Do you understand that? Too many people are looking for a purpose. The purpose is already there. Christ is worthy. Problem is that we're so busy living for ourselves that we can't look up to heaven and see Jesus, the author and the finisher. Do you understand that it's all about Him? Do you get that? Do you get that from Genesis to Revelation? It is all about Him. John the Baptist was getting ready to lose his head, and what did he say? "He must increase and I must decrease." He lived his life by that. He must increase and I must decrease. Whatever I want in my life, if it doesn't glorify God, then I need to get rid of it because Christ is worthy. Nothing else explains why a man would suffer such reproach, suffer such loss, and eventually suffer their life. Nothing explains why an old man would stand up before a council that was ready to slay him, and they said, "Renounce your faith." And Polycarp said, 82 years have I stood for this, and He has done me no wrong. I'll not turn my back on Him now, because He's worthy." 45 imprisoned Baptist preachers in Virginia sat there, all for that believer's baptism that we prostitute out today and make it of no effect. The ordinances are of no effect today because they've been destroyed almost in our churches. That might make you upset, but that's okay. I'm used to doing that. But those 45 men sat there in prison. Why? Why would John Waller take a whip to the face? Why would he allow them to stand there and whip him? He had no defense, by the way. And to whip him 30 times with a whip, crawl back up there onto that pulpit and preach, "Christ is worthy." Why? Because He's worthy. Do you realize that the strength of these men was not in how tough they were, but the worth of God. They wanted to live their lives to honor Christ because He gave it all up for them. Isn't it amazing that He gave it all up and we will only give Him a little of us, only the comfortable part? Even the angels in heaven, they beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." When you go to heaven and you die and you draw your last breath here and you open your eyes up in eternity, you'll look at Him and you'll say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." It won't be about how much you did here and how good you looked and how big your church was or the fact that you preached or anything else. It'll be the worthiness of Christ. Think about how our lives would change if we looked at Him and we said He's worthy. Think of how much honor you would give Him in your life because He's worthy. Think about how much you would look into this book and you would study this book and you would learn this book and you would grow in the Lord because Christ is worthy. We treat Him right now like He's not worthy in our lives. You know, God doesn't want you to wait till you get up to heaven to cry out, "Christ is worthy." He wants your life to speak it now. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." He's worthy now, folks. He did it for us. He came and took the book. What's that? The title deed of all. Redeemed and reconciled us to our God. Instead of being thrown in the pit of hell, you and I are going to reign as kings on this earth. The reason why Pastor Cooley does what he does is because Christ is worthy. The reason why I'm willing to suffer reproach and angry looks and people not fellowshipping with me and separating from me or vice versa is because He's worthy. You may not always understand that, but that's the way I see it. That when I got saved, I said, "I'm yours." And when I got on this pulpit and said I was going to preach the Word of God because He called me to, I'm His. And I will not spend my days apologizing for sound doctrine in a day in which they will not receive sound doctrine. Is He worthy in your life? Do you show the worth of Christ in your life? Is your life dead and hid in Christ? Your wants, your desires, are they Christ's desires for your life? What else would make a man like Brother Alexander do all this searching and history and work that he puts into this and travels around, and a man that just had a very intense surgery shouldn't really be walking around and doing a lot of stuff, but God healed him up enough to be able to do these things, and his wife and her surgery and all that they've been through. Why would you get into a bus and go through all this stuff and sit for nonstop hours and drive around hours and hours? Was it just to honor some men? No, it wasn't. It's because He's worthy. It's because these men followed God. And they gave their lives for God. Their children, their women gave their lives for God. You can't explain it any other way, folks, why people would subject themselves to death and die in a cave somewhere and be smoked out and be barefoot in the mountains and walk around and be slaughtered by these people and would not renounce their faith. But the guiding principle of their life was Christ is worthy. Think of what you and I in this church can do if we'll catch a glimpse of the worthiness of Christ. You'll be a bold witness for Him, and I'll be a bold witness for Him, and stand out and do what's right. We'll live our lives with a testimony that points people to Christ. If they find us, they find Jesus. We'll tell our friends and neighbors, those that don't want to hear it, that we have relationships with, that we're too scared to tell them about the Lord. We'll be bold as a lion and call sin, sin, and we'll nail it down, and we'll admit it to, we'll preach it to people, the gospel. and not worry about what others think. Christ gave you a sphere of influence in your own house. Are you using it? You got family members that are lost. We don't go to them for any other reason but that Christ is worthy. Again, ought not Christ to receive the rewards of His labor? Our lives. Our lives will mean something if they're spent for Christ. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that make money. They travel around and they get all that they want that this life has to offer, this world has to offer. But their life has meant nothing because they lived it for self and they never found Christ, the one who is worthy. Think about it. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, help us to live a life that if people come looking for us, they find Jesus. Lord, help us to do more for you. And Lord, we failed you in many ways. We failed you in preaching the gospel. We failed you in getting out there and just preaching the word of God because you said it's the foolishness of preaching that saves. You didn't say it was even a gospel tract, Lord. You said the foolishness of preaching is what you wanted to use. Lord, I know you use a gospel tract too, but you'll use me to preach the Bible. You'll use these other men here to preach the Word of God and get out there. You don't have to be an ordained preacher. Lord, you've filled all your people with your Spirit and will give them power. But it must be done because you're worthy. You promised, Lord, that if we'd lift you up, you would draw all men unto you. Father, help our lives to lift you up. Lord, if we want to see people saved, Christ must be exalted. If we want a church that glorifies you, then Christ must be exalted. If we want the power of God, then Christ must be exalted. Dear God, forgive us for living a life that doesn't point people to the worthiness of Christ. Help us to suffer reproach because you're worthy. Help us to suffer the separation because you're worthy. Help us to suffer affliction because you're worthy. Help us to see this in our lives, that you're worthy. Father, we need a touch from heaven. We need your Holy Spirit's power upon us. For in our own selves we can do nothing. But if we lift Him up, He'll draw all men unto Him. God, help us to live lives that exalt the worthiness of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.